Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Barca for All podcast. I am returning again after, I think, 2 weeks of hiatus. The other two people here, Borja and Rajesh, we're returning after 2 weeks because, really, during the international break, there's not much that goes on that's worth talking about other than whatever Spain drama might be happening at any given moment, which... it's always happening, for being honest. But we'll just start off with some introductions, some recaps, some catch-ups. How are you guys feeling? How have you guys been doing, I should say? But how we can start with you first.
I'm extremely tired. I just came back to studying. I left my job and I came back to studying just to, it doesn't matter. But it's very tiring. I don't remember how tiring it was to study. And actually, I think like once you get closer to 30 years old, your memory absolutely sucks. So this is a message for the audience. If you are young, just study and get shit done before you are too old. Because yeah,
that's good.
It's pretty bad.
I guess if your brain stops developing at 25, everything after that is just, like, really difficult. Because, you know, learning new things after you've already... I don't know if that's how that works. I'm probably just talking out of my ass. But, I mean, that's always what I've been told.
No, but makes sense. Anyway, it tires me even more, the fact that Barça Femení is not playing. So hopefully this weekend it will be fine again and I will get my joy back. If they play, probably well. That we will see about that.
Who are we playing next? Sevilla? Oh, well.
Yeah, Sevilla. I just hope that we don't get the jinx of the Rolling Stone badge. Because we will be wearing that. So hopefully they don't mess up like the men's team. But yeah, on Sunday, I think at 4 p.m. on Spanish time.
Rajesh, how have you been?
I'm fine. I'm doing well. I just relocated to a new city, and yeah, I have some work to do, like sorting things up in the new house. So yeah, I'm doing pretty fine, and yeah, I'll be. I think like just as Borja mentioned that we'll be playing Sevilla this week. So yeah, I'll be ready for that game.
I'm looking forward to it as well. I've been working, because that's what I do now. Not full-time, still. I'm still getting there. But yeah, pretty lax updates. Pretty lax podcast. We're really not expecting it to last very long. Especially just because there's not too much to talk about. But, the stuff that we do have to talk about is pretty significant, such as Aitana Bonmatí winning the Ballon d'Or. Claps for Aitana Bonmatí. Congratulations, Aitana. Thank you, Borja. she pretty overwhelmingly, as we all know, there is really no question about it. She won everything you could possibly win while being more or less the main character in each of the teams that she played for. You know, incredible in the league, incredible in the Champions League, incredible during the World Cup. It was really no question. I don't know if the full vote breakdown has been released yet. I know it's always a really big point of contention when it comes to the discourse around these awards, such as the the lie that was completely made up about Alexia's Ballon d'Or last year. About how she only won over 1 point against Beth Mead, and then it actually came out that was not true. She won over many points over Beth Mead. But I can't imagine that Aitana wouldn't be winning by a lot over... who was it? Was it Sam Kerr in second, or was it Salomon second?
It was Sam Kerr second, Salomon third.
Yeah. Sam Kerr, God love her. Consolation podium again for like third year running. I don't think she's ever getting her hands on that trophy. But yeah, a Barcelona podium, not a podium, but three out of the four top finishers in the Ballon d'Or were from Barcelona, which was really cool. I'm pretty sure Salma got third and Rolfa got fourth. Then you go down the list and Patri got eight, which I thought was garbage. I really do think that we as Barcelona fans are in our own little bubble when it comes to how much we rate certain players, because if it was me, I would have given Patri the Ballon d'Or itself, if not top two. But to have her finish eighth and have Mbappé finish 16th, that's crazy to me. That's just crazy.
I think the Mbappé one was the biggest evidence of the World Cup tax.
Oh, yeah. Because
in front of her was Amanda Ilesel, which her season with PSG was average, you could say that. And just because she was a center back and she scored goals during the World Cup, just she got there. Well, yeah. Strange anyway.
That was wild. Who was it? Rachel Daly getting 10th? God, man. I said this the other day, but if you have Mary Earps and Rachel Daly being the best players in your team or in your league, you can't see me right now, but I'm putting my hands up. I don't know. I don't know what that says about it. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, congratulations to you, Aitana. The rankings, I mean, they just don't really... You really can't put any weight to them other than maybe, like, the podium. Because when it comes to some of the best players in the best team in Europe, if not the world, coming 16th and 8th, that's just silly. So I don't really know if that matters too much, even though it is pretty insulting, but I'll leave it at that. We don't really have any quote-unquote news other than that, really. Nothing much has happened in the Barcelona sphere. I don't think there's been many major injuries or injury recoveries.
Oh, you are leaving the Ballon d'Or thing. We should probably mention the fact that Barcelona Femini won the award for...
Yes, Barcelona Femini won Women's Team of the Year. I don't know who the other nominees were.
I think there was not like a list or something.
Oh, yeah.
But this is the first time they have introduced this award. And
yes, that is true.
That's another history. Yeah.
Did Chelsea win it in 2021?
No, I think this is the first year that it's been awarded.
This is the first year.
I just said that, right?
Yep.
I think last year it was Man City for both, like for the men's and the women's team, because there were some. Last year it was just best team overall, and because best I remember that there were some images of Man City women's team being eliminated by Real Madrid during the ceremony. So yeah, I think it was the first year where it was differentiated.
Was it Chelsea like as an entire club in 2021?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay, because I remember something about that. Because obviously it wasn't going to be Barcelona as a whole club in 2021 with the men's team. But I remember it was that, either that or like, I think Chelsea as a club had the most players nominated to either Ballon d'Or lists in 2021, something like that. But yeah, I do think that they won Club of the Year. I'm glad that they separated them, though, because I feel like regardless, Barcelona probably would have won all three of those. Maybe not 2022, but... all three of those. City as a club in 2022 is pretty funny, though. That's funny to me. Just because, you know, they didn't really do anything, but that's okay. Is there anything else that's relevant about the Ballon d'Or that we need to talk about? I don't think there is.
Leo Messi?
What'd you say?
I said, like, Leo Messi.
Oh!
Like, we can't forget him.
Yeah, he's done it 8 times. What's an 8th time? You know what I'm saying? It's just another day. I cried a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. I cried a lot of it, actually, because this is definitely his last time winning it. I've only been around for 6, 7, and 8. I wasn't a fan before then, because I think, what was it, 2015 was Messi, and then 16 and 17 were Ronaldo, and then 18 was Modric. Yeah, I was only around for the 2019, 2021, and 2019, 21, and 23. I was only around for those. But it's kind of undeniable that this is his last time, unless he somehow wins it again after, like, a Copa America. Is there a Copa America next year? I don't think there is. Is there?
I think there is one every 2 years. So,
in 2025, I guess.
No.
Or 2024.
Yeah, it seems pretty impossible from here on out, at least, because he's going to win another one. So,
it's 2024, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see.
Unless he has, like, some sort of insane tournament. But I really feel like this 2021 win, although he deserved it, was really the novelty of him winning his first international trophy, and like how that's ever happened before.
Oh wait, the CONMEBOL is not played on, the Copa America is not played in the US, you Kelsey?
Is it? Is it really?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I'm asking.
It's been played there, right?
Let me look this up.
No, it's actually three countries. Argentina, Colombia, and...
host country, United States. Huh? This is news to me. Are you serious? What? Are you for real? Have they not chosen the host cities yet? I don't think they have. I feel like that would be on the... yeah, venues TBA. I feel like that would be on the... like, something that I would know. How have they not... it's next year. It's November of 2023 and they haven't announced the venues and the host cities yet. That's kind of crazy. I might go to that. Are you serious?
It's your chance to watch Messi live.
No, because the plan was, for me, I wanted to go and watch Messi play my home team, which is the Columbus Crew, at the Columbus Crew's home stadium in Columbus, Ohio. But I don't... The Inter Miami recently released like season ticket prices, and they are egregiously expensive, like in the thousands, if not like I think maybe even in the tens of thousands, which is just like nasty.
Oh shit!
I know. So I'm thinking like once single match tickets for that match are released, I'm expecting it to be like in the 200s or 300s for nosebleed seats. I mean, to an extent, like, I would pay for that, but I also don't want to go alone, and I want to bring other people along, so it's like, you know, am I going to ask my friends to pay $200 to watch this player? Because I don't really have that many, like, close friends that are Messi fans that I know in real life. So I don't know if that would slide, you know what I'm saying? And I'm hoping they're not that much money. When I went to see Columbus in 2016, 2017, in their home stadium, it's maybe $30. But for like okay seats. But that was also when their attendances were really low, and they were also going through an ownership dispute, and their also attendances were just like not there. For Messi coming to Columbus, Ohio, I feel like the prices would be pretty crazy. Because nothing else happens there other than, like, Ohio State football, which is, like, a college team. I can't believe that they don't have the host cities selected. If they're coming to Cincinnati, which they very well might be, because Cincinnati fans are rabid animals and they're very supportive. I mean, I would go if Cincinnati were a host city. That's crazy. I can't believe I did not know that. Thank you for pointing that out to me. Wow. Okay. Now I'm like excited. I kind of want to go and see. I lost track of thought. Oh yeah, Messi Ballon d'Or. Love you, Messi. Thank you, Messi, for everything that you've given me personally in my life, personal fulfillment. I think that we're good to move on now to talking about the Granada match. It was, I mean, I told Borja before we started, like, I didn't really like this match that much. I thought we played pretty poorly, but we can get into that and my opinions on that. This match was a 6-1 victory against Granada. There was discourse about this, how Barcelona fans are always like, oh my god, we're playing so bad, and then you check the scoreline and it's 6-1. That is true, and I'm not going to deny it. That's all I'm going to say. But we won it 6-1 with goals from Patri. Onabache's first goal in Blaugrana ever. I think ever. Like in an official match. Did she score one in preseason? I forget.
No, because actually she was not in preseason. She was in the World Cup.
So true. Onabache. She scored in the 29th minute. And then Selma scored in the 59th minute. I believe this was her comeback match. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mariona scored in the 66th minute, and then Oshuvala, who started this match, scored in the 80th and the 82nd minute. And I believe this was her first goal since September, yeah, against Madrid CFF. So, we won by a pretty overwhelming margin. We can start talking about, like, our standout players and our not-so-standout players. This was probably one of Ona's best matches in a Barcelona shirt, but, like, you can say that in every match she plays. I thought she was incredible. For me, she would probably be my player of the season so far. She just, like, she doesn't make a single step wrong. She's always in the right place at the right time. I can't really think of really any mistakes that she's made so far in a Barcelona shirt. And we've, like, no, this isn't news. You know, we've known this since she's been at United. We've known this since she's been at Levante. I mean, really, I'm just sort of curious what the Barcelona staff and scouts in 2016 and 2017 didn't really see in her that made her good enough to, like, stay with the team. Because she's probably been better than Leila Wahabi for quite a long time, if we're being honest. Ona was just incredible. I also thought Patri was at a similar level. For them two have been both of my players of the season. But I want to know your guys' thoughts on who our standout players were in this match. And then also just generally any thoughts about the match that you'd like to share.
Yeah, I pretty much think that the both names that you gave are spot on. Probably Reyes agrees with me as well. But yeah, I mean, like, it just, even all that stuff that you said on Ona, we should consider that she's not playing on her natural position, because in the end, being right footed, playing on the left, doesn't help for her to get the best of Onabaji. Because in the end, for instance, when she gets on the final third, she doesn't go that much till the last line, because she's not that left footed and she tends to drift in worse anyway. So, I mean, she's the MVP of the season so far, I agree. But the best thing is that the best is yet to come. And not just because she's still, she's just been 2 months here and she can adapt even better to the team, but just because of that. And I agree a lot as well on Patri as well. I think the pass that she makes to Mariona goal is fantastic. And actually, see, every game I count at least like 3 key passes that is a value of goal, because it just leaves a teammate on a very clear chance to convert and get a goal. So yeah, I think I agree with both. On the other hand, I think it's more interesting to talk about players that are not performing probably at her best, and that could be a symptom for something in the team. For instance, I think that Brunei game was not that good, to put it softly, middly. I don't know. I feel like playing as a winger doesn't help it at all. I'm intrigued with what's with her, because we know she has the ability to be a goal scorer, but playing on the wing, she's not providing enough. And actually, I'm seeing that she's having some troubles with even with touches. I don't know how that's related with, I don't know, just a term of confidence or anything. I don't know. But I'm a little bit worried in that sense. But I don't know you guys what think about it.
I remember, so at the beginning of like the 2021-22 season, in the couple weeks that she played just before she tore her ACL, I remember that one of the biggest things, I guess, if you want to call this big, that Jonah changed anywhere on the pitch was putting Bruna and not playing her as a center forward like she usually was playing throughout the entire 2020-21 season, where she had that like incredible purple patch and was scoring all these goals. I remember he put her on the wing, and that was one of the first decisions that I remember him making. And I think it was a decision that garnered a lot of criticism because she very clearly was not doing well in this position. Granted, she only played in it like maybe 3 times, but then she tore her ACL. But yeah, she wasn't playing to her full potential, and I remember that really, really clearly. She was kind of like tripping over her own feet, and she wasn't getting in the right position. She wasn't nearly as involved in play as she was when she was playing as a center forward. I mean, maybe Jonah's wanting to put her in this position as maybe having like a backup for Kato, or I really don't know the logic behind it, but for me, it sort of feels like a failed experiment that he should have let go of a long time ago. Because every time I've seen her on the wing, it's just never worked. She just hasn't been nearly as good as she usually is as a center forward or playing as a striker or any central attacking position. I've never seen it work out.
And I think there is some part of structural issues, because in the end, Bruna is not slow at all, but she's not that fast in order just to overcome and drill past the opposition defenders just using her speed. She can't do that because she's not that fast. She doesn't have that dribbling because she just hasn't. Because if you look at her stats, she's not that successful in that area. And then there is the thing that playing on the right wing and being left-footed, she tends to drift inwards as well, which I think that is the opposite to what Caro is as a winger. So I don't know. It seems like very odd. And I think the real reason is just the way that Jonah can give her minutes at the moment. But in contrast to Alexia's discourse, people say that, oh, you should play her as a midfielder in order for her to give back her confidence. In that case, I don't buy it with Alexia that much. But with Bruna, I think that when she's played as a winger or as a midfielder, she's a struggle. So I think that we should play her. Jonah should play her as a striker, or even try as a winger, but coming inside to receive and be a fourth midfielder, like probably Mariona is. I think that could be an interesting thing for her in order to help her to grow and to help the team. But yeah, I don't know. Rajesh, do you have any name in particular that you highlight from the match versus Granada?
I would say like Martina Fernandez had a good game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And that and like Sandra Panos did, that was a terrible mistake to allow the ball to creep into the net. I mean, like, we conceded the goal, but it was like so poor goal to concede, which shouldn't be like, which should be saved in any case.
Do you guys think that considering that Qatar has been playing the most important matches and the fact that whenever Paños has started, we have conceded, probably against Sporting de Huelva, the mistake was not on her because I think it was been an issue that she didn't track back. But the mistake against Granada is... it's not good. Because in the end, this probably will just make Kata even more started because, yeah, probably her confidence level is way higher than Paños right now.
I think like her confidence level has dropped a lot since like she isn't the starting goalkeeper anymore. So yeah, I think like it affected her like performance and so.
Yeah, and I think that the confidence in every player is pretty important, but I think that with goalkeeping is even more a key aspect because you can see also in other goalkeepers at the moment, for instance, Manuela Zinsberger, did you see them? Did you guys watch the mistake that she had against?
Yeah, I did.
That's pretty bad.
That's really bad.
There's no way that's a coincidence. That's 100% a thing of confidence and misjudging just because you are insecure. And considering that she's having quite a few mistakes in a row, yeah. I just don't know at the moment in which way we can help Paños to get more confidence, but the thing is, yeah, I think there is not much debate around now the fact that who should be the goalkeeper.
Yeah, I mean, with Paños especially, I mean, we've seen, especially throughout the past 2 years, how her confidence can wane and how it can come back. But, I mean, we obviously don't know what happened in the 2022 Euros. But after she came back from that, it was a thing the entire season about how she like wasn't mentally there. She was struggling a lot. I think there were she was even crying at some points. I know she was at the Euros. I don't know if she was after the Euros, but she was just you could see it in the way that she played and the way that she carried herself that she wasn't doing well. And when you have, a player, but like Borja, like you said, especially the goalkeeper, where like one mistake can cost you your starting position because, you know, usually there's someone to replace you. There's only one position that you can play. There's only one goalkeeper that you can field. You know, you making a mistake can cost you your entire, all of your minutes. I feel like it's just... It's a difficult situation, especially for someone like her who has a history of sort of losing her confidence easily. But at a point, you just have to be like, okay, this isn't your starting spot anymore. And not in a disrespectful way or anything. She's Sandra Paños. I mean, she's a legend in our club, but still, it's what happened to Raffles. It's what's happened to every goalkeeper that we've ever had. Someone needs to overtake your position, and it's probably just happening sooner than she would have wanted.
Yeah, the thing is that last year, I think she improved. She still had some ups and downs.
I agree with that, yeah.
She got better during the year, but the thing is that last year she hadn't a clear competition in that position because in the end, Kata got back in February, I think, and she was still getting fully fit and blah, blah, blah. But this year, yeah, Kata is at her best level. So, yeah, I think, I don't know, seems inevitable if nothing bad comes up. But anyway, just hoping that she gets her best version if we ever Neither in like because Kata gets in your or just because she gets to her best level.
Are there any other? Oh, sorry, Prajash, go on.
I mean, like her contract is going to end this year, so.
Oh, that's true. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and so actually, if we are talking that much about economics, I guess Sandra Banyo's salary is not low because, I mean, we talk about this in previous episodes. But the fact that if you are going to renew Banyos and...
I mean, she's a captain, your salary has to be up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's a guaranteed starter most, like, before Kata got into this form. Yeah.
If you trust fully on Kata from now, yeah, I don't know if keeping Banyos with a high salary is a thing. And actually, I think she's still way too good to have a room on Arsenal or something.
I mean, really, if we're being honest, she could walk into any Liga FA team and start there other than maybe Barcelona. She's better than Misa. She's better than Lola. She's better than Lete. At her best, I should say, and she's often at her best, or even when she's average. I mean, we all saw that mistake that Misa made when with that one goal against Levante. Pretty bad. Or no, wait, that wasn't against Levante. It was against Switzerland. She started against Switzerland. That was bad. Did you guys watch that yesterday?
Yeah, I watched. No. I mean, like, sometimes I tend to be like forgiving with goalkeepers and so on. You can make one mistake and I don't think that's a huge issue. But with Miss, I think it happens the same down with Fisberger, not at such level. But I think she has, I think with confidence since the World Cup. So yeah, because with Madrid, she hasn't been great with Real Madrid neither. So yeah, as we said, the confidence is a huge thing.
Kata's really only the like in great form Spanish keeper. I feel like that's in the league right now. I'm not following, you know, Chelsea Ashurst from Sporting Huelva, you know what I'm saying? But at least out of like the big 3, 4, 5, 6, then Kata's gotta be like the best option out of any Spanish goalkeeper. But I understand why she wasn't started yesterday, because as we know from my World Cup rant, Switzerland aren't exactly an amazing team. I can't stand Switzerland. They're this big national team, but how many goals have they conceded to Spain in the past 4 or 5 matches or something? I think the stat was like 26 goals in 5 matches. That's embarrassing. That's bad. For those who like don't pay attention to Spain, they played a Nations League group match against Switzerland yesterday, and they won by like 7-1, I think. Yeah, 7-1. Compare that to their World Cup knockout match, where they won 5-1. Like, God. Anyway, that's the end of my beef with Switzerland. Is there anything other else that's like that you guys want to talk about relating to Barcelona? We mentioned that Ona and Patri were good. Bruna had a tough match. We talked about Martina. Engin was pretty good. I couldn't tell you like the specifics why. I just remember that I thought she was pretty good. I think she definitely does better in defensive type roles. I don't think she's meant to be anything of a center midfielder. Really, I feel like we would probably be better as using her as like a backup center back. I feel like that's more her position.
I think she has got better this season, definitely. Like during the two past seasons where she just had a not horrible game, we were saying, oh, maybe maybe now she's getting better. But now I think that she's been four matches at least playing consistently well. with the national team, JSDFC was great as well. But the thing is, she has added some attributes on the ball that she's been missing during these two seasons at Barcelona, like using her body in order to protect, in order to feint, and finding the advantages and finding the right passes and the right timing and at the and where the she should place that pass. I think she has improved a lot on that. But I think the main thing with Engen, and it's something that is not very, it's not fixable, it's not something that you can improve, is the fact that her touch on the ball is not on Barca level. Like sometimes she has way too many mistouches, so many imprecisions technically talking about, and that's a huge thing in Barcelona. Against Granada, she didn't struggle because she was not pressed that much. But against other teams that focus on her and target Engen, it might be an issue. So in the end, it's good to see that Engen improve and that she can be more useful. But I think she's still way, way far from Patri and Kira in order to be the pivot that. So yeah. I have to say, sorry, Kelsey.
No. I was just going to say, I think in that way, she was sort of was not like a perfect replacement for Kira Hamraoui, but like pretty close. Cause that's kind of what Kira was for. She was meant to be like a big body and defensive mid, plays defensively, not known for like being technically sound. She's very much like a PSG defensive midfielder in the same way that Engen is very much like a Wolfsburg defensive midfielder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the thing is, Engen can be more defensively successful because she has that speed to track back that probably Keita didn't have.
Keita was slow.
Yeah.
That was probably her worst attribute. She was slow. Keita really was not that good. I mean, she had her moments, but man, the fact that we won a Champions League final with her starting at defensive midfielder and not Patri was just, it's crazy. I can't believe we did that. It was really bad.
But then she scored some big goals for us.
She did. Oh, man.
Yeah, she was super clutch. Yeah, you're right.
She was such a funny player because she would score these like, what was it? The 2020 Copa de la Reina against Deportivo La Coruña, that last minute winner. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh man,
she also scored against. Yeah.
And then Atletico Madrid in the 20th
Munich
semifinal. No, bam, quarterfinal.
Bam.
But then she turned around and get a red card. You know, or the red card that she got against Bayern in the second leg of the Champions League, the 2019 Champions League semifinal, scoring in the first leg and then getting a red card in the second. She wasn't very good, but God, was she entertaining. She was entertaining. Engen just... She doesn't have that entertainment factor. I think that's why... I think that's where the comparisons come in. Unless, of course, you're a shipper, in which case the entertainment factor is always there. We don't touch on those topics on this podcast, really, ever. So sorry if you're here for that. So with that, I think we're probably good for talking about the Granada match. Again, like I said, this is going to be a short episode because the only thing we really have left to talk about is the Champions League draw. So we got, obviously not the easiest group because that's always reserved for Lyon, but we got put in not the hardest group. We didn't quite get the teams that I wanted. I wanted Paris FC. We did not get Paris FC. Instead, we got, obviously, us in Group A. And then we got Rosengard in Sweden, Benfica in Portugal, and Eintracht Frankfurt in Germany. Definitely not, like, easy. I think these are three of, like, at least top two teams in each of their respective leagues. I'm curious to see about Benfica. Didn't we have them last season?
We had both Benfica and Rosengard.
That away game was a disaster. God, I remember that so well. Yeah, so Rosengard, I'm not sure if they're if they won the league last year. I don't really follow the Deimos Svenskan very much. Do you know, Rajesh?
They are having a poor season, I think. Not they're not the leaders this season. They are 6th or 7th, if I'm right.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah, and also like some of their base players just left Benfica. Yeah, for instance, Lacazette, right?
Oh, yeah. She did. Shit.
There was another one that left Benfica, I think. But I don't quite remember the name.
Yeah, she joined L'Oréal.
Just
sorry, what?
She joined L'Oréal. I mean, Real Sociedad.
Sorry, who?
Was it back from Benfica?
Was it Jacinto?
No, Andrea Jacinto came from Sporting Portugal. No, and it was 2 years ago. No.
Okay.
Oh.
No, I don't remember. I just forgot. But anyway, they signed Andrea Falcón, which apparently she's having a
good, oh, yeah. I remember that. There.
But yeah, but the thing is that I don't know how competitive they will be this season. But last year, at home, we beat it like badly.
Yeah,
I think in the end, in the group, the most threatening can be Eintracht Frankfurt. Because they're actually having a great season. Actually, during the Frauen Bundesliga, they put into trouble. Who was it? Wolfsburg?
Yeah, they I think they're either just about to win against Wolfsburg or they just did.
They are playing Wolfsburg next week. No, but I meant
Bayern.
Yeah, actually they draw Bayern. Yeah, you are right.
Yeah, they did. And they were I was like the beginning of the league. I think maybe even the first match of the Bundesliga. They were tying Wolfsburg until Wiedemeyer and Payor scored in like 73rd and 84th minute. I have the game pulled up, that's how I know that. So they can definitely hold their own against the best. They definitely
And the thing with Eintracht Frankfurt is that they are a very competitive team. They have some like pretty good players, like for sure. Laura Franga. I don't know how to pronounce that in German, but anyway. Ayomi is also a pretty good player, but the thing is that collectively, I think they are a pretty good team. And for instance, I think they can put Barca into trouble with their pressing. You remember last year the game against Bayern Munich in the Allianz Arena that we struggled in possession and blah, blah, blah. I think that it could be similar because I think conditionally, physically, they are a team that they can put us into trouble because probably they can press for the full minutes, and actually they have a good pressing structure. So I think that would be the most entertaining game because Rosengard and Benfica, I think they will be, I don't want to say easy to win because nothing is easy in the Champions League, but you can expect a win. But the thing with Eintracht is that you can expect on that game some kind of accident or getting a draw or something like that. So I don't know. We will see. But in my opinion, I think it's the game that I'm the most looking forward to.
I agree. I was really hoping for Paris, but Real Madrid got Paris. I'll just go down the list of all the other groups here. So Group B is more or less related to the joke that I made about Lyon always getting the easy groups, which isn't really even true. I mean, they got like, who did they get in last year? They got Juventus and some other team that really was giving the problems. Maybe that was it 2 years ago or last year? I don't remember. But Group B, Lyon has... go on.
Arsenal. Yeah, they got Arsenal and they went like beaten 5-1.
Oh, yeah. Was it Arsenal and Juventus?
Yeah.
Okay. I knew I was remembering it right. Lyon has Slavia Prague. It's like Praha and this, but it's like it's Prague. St. Pölten and Brann. And that is teams from Prague is in the Czech Republic. Then Saint Pulton is from Austria and Brann is from Norway. So I think we know who's finishing the top of that group. And then Group C is pretty brutal. Bayern, Paris, like Paris Saint-Germain, Roma and Ajax. And then Group D is definitely like 1,000% the group of death. Chelsea, Real Madrid, Hecken, and Paris FC. For those who are not familiar with Hecken, which I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing it right, that is the team that is formerly known as, I think, Göteborg, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's it's from right? the area. I mean, like, actually, it's from the city of Göteborg.
I'm reading their Wikipedia right now.
Yeah.
They made that name change in the past couple of years, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, I don't know if that was her name previously, but for sure it's from the area of Gothenburg, because actually...
Kopparbergs Göteborg FC. That's their old name. And I believe they are... I don't know anything about this league. I think they're the best, right? Rinesh?
Yeah, they're top of the league.
Okay. They're top of the league. So, I have zero, I'm going to be honest. What?
I mean, like, away games will be tough if you're going to Sweden.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing with Swedish teams is that probably you are facing them off-season or when they are not
fully fit. That is unfortunately true.
And that's a thing that probably will also happen with Rosengard, so with us in the group. So it might be a thing. It depends a lot on the day we are playing against them and how they are or how long they end up their league. So that may be a thing, but yeah.
Do we want to give predictions of who we think is going through from each group?
Yeah, that's always fun because the audience can come back later and point at us for
our terrible mistakes. Laugh at us for being stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to recall my infamous predictions for the World Cup, so yeah, go on.
Oh my God, my World Cup predictions were terrible. They were really bad. I was persisting throughout the entire tournament up until the semifinals that Spain wouldn't do it. The entire time. I mean, I don't really think anyone thought they would or could, but Jesus.
I mean, I'm glad that I said that Spain were top three favorites. So in my view, and I actually said that they were coming until semifinals. But the thing is, I predicted a final for the US, which...
I think I did too.
Against Germany, who didn't go from the phase group. So from the group stage, so that was a pretty bad thing.
I think I was thinking like the USA. I wasn't thinking Spain. I was thinking the USA, France. I don't think Germany. USA, France, England, definitely, and then maybe a fourth one. Maybe Brazil.
Sweden.
Yeah, Sweden probably. I feel like that was my most likely top four. I, you know, we all had the pipe dream of like, you know, maybe this will be Marta's year. It was not Marta's year. It probably never will be Marta's year. And that is devastating to me personally. I definitely know that I predicted the USA to win it again. And that did not happen. For better or for worse. But yeah, predictions for Group A. So just to recap, the teams are Barcelona, Rosengard, Benfica and Frankfurt. I think that Barcelona will finish first. Just a hunch. I think Frankfurt are going to go through two and finish in second. And then I think it's going to be Rosengard Benfica for 3 and 4.
I agree.
Okay. Rajesh, what about you?
Yeah, same.
Okay. What were you going to say, Borja?
Oh, no, nothing. I was just laughing at the next group that for sure it will be Olympic Lyon, but who the fuck will get second?
I'm looking at this and like I don't know a single player from any of these three teams. Like no disrespect to them at all, but I like don't know. I really don't. It's I assume Slavia Prague just because they're second in the draw. You know what I mean? But I don't know if that's like a good assumption to make just there, because I don't know anything about any of these teams.
That's a fun prediction. Like,
I assume it'll just be Slavia Prague.
We should get maybe one of us. Praha, Bolton, or Brand, that someone gets it right.
Right.
I'll take Bolton, St. Bolton, because they have a cool, what looks like a werewolf on their badge. What is that? I think that's like, it's like a blue werewolf. That's actually kind of sick. That's going to be my team.
I'm going to take Praha because there is no way I'm going to take a Norwegian team.
What's your deal with Norwegians?
Yeah, I don't... All the teams that I've watched from that league through the years, not trustworthy. Last year, I can't recall which team played against Real Madrid, but it was not good. And this year, Valerenga, The first leg was quite okay, but the second, So yeah, I'm taking Praha.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Reyes.
It's okay. I think they have an Hagerberg in their team. If I'm right. Escape run.
I think for me, score predictions for each of these matches is going to be at least 4-0 to Lyon. Every single one of them. Home and away. Well, every single one.
More than 4, I would say.
Probably. I'm just being conservative with my estimate of 4. God, sorry to these tiny teams. I feel so annoying being like, I'm a fan of the Barcelona team with 2 Champions League titles under their belt, picking fun at Brann from Norway. Group C, Bayern, Paris, Roma, and Ajax. For me, I think it's going to be... Oh, this is kind of hard. Because we know that Paris are a bunch of bottlers and they're garbage right now. But I still feel like they have this sort of Champions League gene in them. I feel like no matter what happens, they're going to perform, even if they're really terrible. Bayern are prone to slipping up, and I don't think I know enough about Roma. But I'm not sure that they can hold their own against the best for multiple months. Actually, I'm going to reverse that statement. I think Roma can hold their own. I'm going to guess Paris, Roma, Bayern, Ajax.
That's my picking.
Okay. Borja, what about you?
I'm sorry. The thing is, Bayern Munich are not playing well at all. I've watched them 2 or 3 games this season, and they have not been good at all.
Yeah, they've been in bad form.
Yeah, but in the end, it's the same coach. Same place. I think they signed pretty well during the... So probably some matter of time. This will get until January, February, the group stage. So they will make it up. So I think... I don't know. PSG changed their manager just a few weeks ago. So
yeah, that's hard to tell.
It's true that it was already within the staff and it was the son of the lost manager, but you don't know where the team is heading to. So it's hard to call. But I'm going to say PSG Bayern.
Okay.
PSG Roma and first. Dennis. Yeah.
Man.
What they did against... I mean, I didn't like it. No, wait. Wait, they have the Almeida as a center back. Wait, I'm taking that back. Bayern first, second PSG.
Who do they have as a center back that you said?
I'm just thinking about the Almeida.
Oh, God, she's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm going to switch again.
And Claire Hunt doesn't...
What would you say, Rajesh?
Like, I'm going to like change my pickings. I would go with Roma, Bayern, and then PSG.
I don't know if Bayern have it in them. I don't think that they do, unfortunately. And I say that like with genuine sadness in my heart, because I do like Bayern. They're absolutely my favorite team from any of these teams in this group. But I just don't think that they have it in them this year. I don't want them to go out sad, but I think that they kind of might.
That's true.
For me, it's still Roma, Paris, Bayern, Ajax. I'm very sorry, Bayern. And then finally, Group D. Undoubtedly the group of death here. You have Chelsea, Real Madrid, Häcken, and Paris FC. I think Real Madrid are going to choke again like they do. I'm going to say Chelsea, Paris, Madrid, Häcken. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Häcken. Because it has an umlaut over the A. Häcken. Yeah, Chelsea, Paris, Madrid, Häcken.
Real Madrid hasn't been that good this start of the season.
They've been bad.
They got the first proper rival.
Bad, but
like it was slip. No, yeah, they are playing terrible. Like,
But I mean, in comparison to the rest of the teams in the league, they're. I mean,
the thing is that they have potential for way more. They are very weak defensively.
That is true.
Not having weir is a huge thing.
Oh, yeah. That's so true. I completely forgot about the fact that he's gone.
I totally don't know because I probably Paris FC is, it was, they will not hold that for until February. So I don't know. I'm going to say Chelsea first for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Emma Hayes, you better not bottle this. And then, God,
I think Paris. My logic with this is that Paris will absolutely take advantage of a team with a terrible defense, just like they did with Arsenal, just like they did with Wolfsburg. That's my.
And they can actually make good transitions as well, which I think can damage Real Madrid. I'm going to say Real Madrid. I'm sorry.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, because in the end, the defense cannot be that anti-competitive. Like, at any time, they should get better. Like, they are performing defensively at their worst. So, they only can upgrade in that sense.
Okay.
So, I'm gonna say Real Madrid second.
Okay. Rajesh, do you agree with me or Borja? Or do you have even a thought about Chelsea, maybe?
Yeah. I didn't like their game against City. Maybe that was their competitive team against Chelsea. So, like, I think, like, I might go with Paris FC.
Okay.
A club that
I could see that happening. I really could.
Yeah. A club that dumped London club out of the way. So, yeah. So, Paris FC and Real Madrid.
Oh, in Madrid!
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Huh. Do you think that they're going to pull a 2021 or 20? Yeah. Another 2021 group stage?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, man.
Because Chelsea didn't play well against them last season.
What has Chelsea's form been? How have they been? 4-2 against Brighton, that 2 goals conceded isn't a great look. 1-1 against City, 2-1 against Tottenham, 2-0 against Arsenal. Oh, that was in May. Never mind. Yeah, defensively, I guess they must not be doing incredibly.
Actually, yeah, City, like, City deserved to win that game. A couple of red cards.
Stuff from that.
I
completely forgot that Mucevic is their starting keeper. Yeah, okay. I'm changing my answer.
Wait.
What?
Actually, it wasn't Berger who started the last games. I think they are changing that.
Mucevic was played in City, and she also played in West Ham, which was their most second to last
recent
game.
Oh, okay. And then, I remember one game was played by Berger.
That was the last game against Brighton where they conceded 2.
I don't know why they hired Hannah Hampton anyway. But anyway,
yeah, what's that about?
Why she doesn't play? Like,
yeah, but like, why? That's my question. Like, why isn't she playing? She has to be better than both of them, right? Isn't that why they signed her anyway? I thought she was signed to be a replacement?
I think it's an investment for considering what Emma Hayes said of her, but I don't know. They are signing any kind of under 23 player that stands out even a little. Like Alejandra Bernabe hasn't done much and they just signed her. So, I mean, I don't know. Strange scouting from people there.
Right. I'm gonna say, based on current form, I'm gonna say Perez, Chelsea, Madrid, Higgin. That's my revised answer. I could see
that's a bold one.
I could see Chelsea is like they're either gonna boss the entire group, which is a possibility, or they're going to struggle to keep on, but I don't think they're going to repeat what they did in the group stage in 2021. I don't think that's happening again. I could see Hayes being stubborn enough to let it happen, but I don't think it will.
I don't see them losing any game, to be honest.
Really? Not even against Paris?
I think they will get better. Like, I mean, like, if you look at the squad, I don't know. Well, maybe they can get a draw or something, but to be honest, at the start of the season, Chelsea hasn't been their best neither. Like, I don't know, 2 years ago they lost against Arsenal in the first game. Last year they lost against Liverpool in the first game. They don't start at their best, and even now, considering many of their players were on the World Cup. So I don't know. To be honest, I don't think it's. I think they will get better, so yeah.
Okay. Rajesh, are you staying with your answer?
Yep, I'm going to stick with that.
All right.
It's just a prediction.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, well, yeah, that'll definitely be... I mean, if we really want to, we could talk about it more, like, as the group stages go on, because... I mean, obviously it's a group of death, but other than that, it's just a really interesting group. I think there's a lot of narratives at play there, you know, with Emma Hayes and Paris and what Paris did to Wolfsburg and Arsenal, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I will definitely be watching those. Is it not going to be free on YouTube this year still?
No, from this year it's not anymore.
Oh my god. Well, I guess we'll all be watching on our illegal streams unless you already have a subscription to DAZN. But that's pretty much it. Podcast wasn't as short as we planned for it to be, just because of the added 20 minutes of discourse about the Champions League draw. But yeah, that's pretty much all we have to talk about with you guys today. Our next match after the international break is over, which I guess it is already, is going to be against Sevilla. And we have an interesting month in general for November for football coming up. Playing Benfica at home, and then we're playing Real Madrid at home at 6 in the morning my time. Can't wait for that. And then we're playing Frankfurt away and Athletic Bilbao at home. Or no, away. So, very eventful month of club football coming up for you guys. So, we'll have plenty to talk about. But until then, thank you for listening. We'll see you on the next one.